So for the last three weeks now, today, we have been talking about what you just saw in that video about our vision statement as a people who are Christians who just also happen to be United Methodists. And so you heard that. I'll remind you of that particular set of language. But, you know, we've been talking about loving and serving. And today we're talking about leading. So whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you embrace it or not, everyone in this room and those of us who are online, everyone here is a follower. Perhaps you were expecting me to say something else. We'll get to that. We'll get to the leadership part of that. But let's start off with understanding that there is following that is going on. And it's part of us. It's part of our life. We follow leadership. We follow guidance. We follow instructions. We do that all the time. When we get into the car and get on the road, we follow the rules of the road, right? Well, some of us do. I was called out recently by someone who I just pointed at. Sorry about that. As they followed me to church, I was going a little bit above the speed limit, and they reminded me that I needed to follow the law. Okay. It's okay. It's okay when people tell you that you're out of line. You follow your boss, right? You need to. Maybe not with a smile on your face, maybe kind of questioning what is going on, but, you know, if you have a lawful order, if you have something that is within your responsibility, you need to follow that instruction, right? You follow your parents, right? I remember my children being amazed by the deference that I gave to my mother and father, because they were in the habit of not practicing deference to their mother and father. I was like, why do you listen to mom? Why do you listen to grandma like that? Because she's my mom. They learned. You follow the advice of your physician. Well, some of us do. You follow the advice of your lawyer when you're smart. You follow your accountant's advice, your best friend, some of your best friends. You follow the loving guidance of your partner or your spouse. We follow political leaders. We follow influencers. And yes, even your pastor you were to follow. Well, sometimes. You follow your gut. You follow your instincts. You follow your heart. You follow your bliss. You follow your common sense. When you see someone on social media that you agree with, that you think, that's an interesting point, or that's a good viewpoint on this. What we are asked to do, on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, is to follow them. And by the way, those of you who are watching this on Facebook or YouTube right now, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. We follow, and it's part of who we are. But we're always having to make sense of, we're always having to kind of like figure out, do I follow that? Is this the direction? Who do I trust to follow? I mean, there are some people that would love to kind of lead us into a bad direction. People scam you all the time. Do you follow those leads? You know, do you like buy that thing on the internet that seems so cool, that sort of takes care of things, that solves all your problems? Do you buy that tool at Home Depot that promises you to always be there and do incredible things? Not to pick on Home Depot, but I think you get it. So we're constantly having to figure out are following. I was reminded this week of a quote by a psychiatrist who lived through concentration camps in World War II. His name is Viktor Frankl. You may have heard of him or seen his book. Maybe you have been invited to read something that he wrote. He survived that experience of being a prisoner in concentration camps, and he observed how he responded and how other people responded in those situations. What he says about that has a lot to say about who we are as a people, including how we survive really difficult times, how we choose what we're following even within ourselves. Now, what Viktor says, which is really helpful, I think, is that there is a stimulus that invites us to follow, to act, to do something. There's the very beginning of, like, I put my hand on something hot. That's the stimulus, right? And then the response is, get that hand off of that hot thing as quickly as you can, right? That's something that happens really naturally and simply. Doesn't have to pass through. You don't go, wow, that seems hot to me. Maybe I should pull my hand off of this. Don't you think? Maybe I should call you guys up. Do you think I should pull my hand? The smoke is coming off the hand. You know, no. You just pop that right off. Yet, there are also things that are in our life and in our circumstances that we do have an opportunity to reflect on that. So between a lot of the beginning, the stimulus of something, and the response is a space. Between that is our opportunity to choose. Maybe it's not a hot surface. Maybe it's a particular act. Maybe you've been asked to do something or to think some way. Now, if you're moving quickly, if you're responding out of like emotions or pressure, the impulse is to, you know, just kind of like do what you're supposed to do, to respond a particular way. But what if that is wrong? What if that is deceitful or hurtful? What if that leads to a bigger problem with what happens? So between the stimulus and what we do is this space. And in that space lies our opportunity for growth and for freedom. As much as I love Kris Kristofferson, I have to tell you that freedom's not just another word for nothing left to lose. There's a lot to lose. And our freedom includes our capacity to evaluate, to look at something, and to make sure that we really want to follow. As Christians, as people who claim the name of Christ, as people who are lovers of Jesus, we are at our best and truest self in following Jesus, in following the impulses of the Holy Spirit, in following the very creative and redemptive nature of the God who makes all of us, makes each of us, and makes us in the image of God. We look differently, we sound differently, we have all kinds of differences inside of us, but at our core, we are made at the very image of God. You can hold up a mirror and see a reflection of that very truth of the image of God right in front of you. Right there. This is my argument in terms of who to follow. Of course, I'm supposed to do that. 20 years ago, in June, I knelt before Bishop Kammerer, and on that day, we read my favorite scripture from the Bible, from Ephesians chapter 2. She placed her hand on me. There was my father behind me. There were friends with me. My wife was there. And Bishop Kammerer said, "Almighty God, pour upon Bert Lee Cloud the Holy Spirit for the office and the work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Bert Lee Cloud, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is what she read from that day. Now, I want to tell you that this is not a celebration of myself, although personally, I think this is pretty cool. But it was also a charge, a particular moment where I was asked, "What do you follow and how will you lead?" So as part of the work that I've been asked to do is to lead. That's why I'm your pastor. But we are all called as followers to put into action what we hope to follow as we live our lives and move into this world. And in doing so, you are leading. You are leading others. Now, sometimes there is a particular job and responsibility that is invited to you, handed to you. You are asked to serve on a particular committee. You've asked to be part of, a community leadership board. You might be elected to something, but you also might be the person that holds the informal power inside of a space. When I was a psychologist, my boss came to me and said, you have a lot of power and leadership here in this department, in the psychologists. And I really did not know how to take that because I thought I had really nothing going on. I was just barely trying to do my job, you know? But by talking with people, by, kind of being present with my colleagues, what she pointed out to me is like, there's a thing called soft power. There's the formal power that is given to a person in a particular job. Oh, this person is the president. This person is the chairman. This person is the, there's certain rights and responsibilities that are handed to people in certain positions, right? But then there are others who are like my grandmother, who held court. She was not very well educated, and she had a lot that was against her. But at the same time, she would speak and people would listen. When you are a parent, whether you like it or not, you are leading. Not just the men in the family, but the men and the women who have charge of helping young people grow, teachers who have the charge of helping young people develop into who they are going to be. You have that responsibility. Hard power, soft power, doesn't matter. People are watching. Our growth and our freedom are in what and who we choose to follow. Our leadership resides in just how we do that. Not what makes sense in a moment or is casually are easy to roll into, but to weigh out those values, to seek and to wrestle with what is real and true and life-giving. And in doing so, to be the leaders that are needed by the people who are watching and listening. I watched my grandmother, and she would drive me nuts, and she would tell me the truth, and she would hold me accountable when she needed to. Or really more than when she needed to, she would hold me accountable, just like she did my dad. So what are we to do? What are we to do with all this? What I'm asking you to do, as people who are gathered in this place, who in your own way, in your own context, and through hard and soft power, are leaders, I'm asking you to do things. First of all, find your courage. Find the courage that you need to live into those tough values that are going to hit all kinds of walls. Sometimes the leadership is very easy. It's very clear. It's right in front of you. Sometimes the leadership is very complex. And how you even handle the complexity of that is leadership. How you model, how to work through what seems to be something that would, you know, be easy just to have an emotional response to and push through. How you work through the very truth about the other people that are involved. How you weigh the needs of others. How you love your neighbor. Is to find your courage, but to find your courage in God. Did you hear what the scripture said? Look, I want you to move through with me. You are not going to be able to do this on your own. We are in need of the very love and support and guidance of the one who we, at least as Christians, are saying that we follow, who is Jesus, who is the Jesus that not everybody necessarily talks about being Jesus, but is the very Jesus that is found here inside of what we just handed third graders, the most dangerous book in the world. The thing to do is to carry your candle. Each one of you carries a candle. It's a spark of light that moves because it has been lit by something, and it helps you to move forward. It helps you to know the direction that you're going in. Have you ever been in a dark place with no light at all? It's so hard to figure out, and you know you're going to step on Legos, right? You're going to step on Legos, you're going to bump your knees, there's going to be bruises involved, there'll be hard conversations later, right? No, you need to get that light, the values, the leadership, the idea of who you are, that you follow and carry that candle. Try not to waste time. Try not to get so distracted by blowing out or attempting to blow out other people's candles. Because have you noticed this? We certainly have no problem going around saying, well, that was stupid, right? Or how can you believe that? Or think about what we've gone through. Think about how much there has been this back and forth going on where people are trying to blow out. What are you doing? Better just to pick it up and carry it well, wisely, and true, because other people are looking and perhaps need the light that comes from the one that you follow. We are asked to love and to serve and to lead in all the ways that you do with courage. And I invite you to the same. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.